This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Watchers.
Just a call for radius categories. One letter, 10 categories, 60 seconds.
Come on, you mad meerkats. We want to hear from you.
Meerkats. Oh, okay. That's
it's all getting raw here in the zoo. Auto lock. Never.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 107. Tom. G'day.
G'day.
Thought we'd go Aussie.
Hello. I can go real Aussie if you want.
Go on, mate.
All right, it's up my nose now. So
yeah. Right up there.
Are we going to do, this is Australian special.
You mean Australia.
Australia special.
Yeah.
And got a bag of twisties.
Yeah, but no, nice, but.
Nah.
Chicken or cheese?
Both.
That's the correct Australian answer.
You ever put chicken salt on your cheese? There's a type of cheese we have in Australia that's pretty offensive. It's awkward.
Yeah, I always have the beaker.
So for anyone wondering, that's how I used to sound. And then I did some media training and now people overseas can understand me.
Amazing.
Isn't it?
Well, as I'm from the North Shore of Sydney, I used to sound like this.
Oh, yeah, people could already understand you.
And then I went to Dubbo and now it's a mixture.
Ah, sure. Yeah. I started out west and I've come to the big smoke. I'm so, like Fivel.
Our powers combine, two different journeys, one accent.
Mm.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Did the ancient Egyptians have help from aliens to build the pyramids? What treasures are buried on Oak Island? Did the Hanging Gardens of Babylon really hang in a spectacular fashion? People have been asking these exact questions for so long that we have no known evidence of who asked them first. We've decided it's too difficult to find out, so we're looking to solve other mysteries. Why does the TV show go quiet when you ask the others in the lounge room if the volume is okay? How come the queue you pick at the supermarket always ends up being the slowest? Where does the missing sock go for that week you can't find it? Tune in each Monday-ish to follow our experts uncover the secret answers to these infuriating questions. Solving the mystery. We'll get to the bottom of them for you.
Beautiful. Oh, I've got a lot to talk about today.
Sure. Good. I've got some to talk about.
Amazing. I've watched some stuff.
Yeah.
I am on the Christmas watching trail now that it's officially December.
You're watching bad things on Netflix and Disney Plus of the last Christmas night or...
And it's the only time of year you'll ever watch that sort
Noel.
Of story line. And a few news stories, really fun quiz for you.
Good.
I did a bit of research for this one.
Nice. I like a fun quiz.
But I've also gotten a little bit mixed up as to what is this week and what is later because... I'm also working on the huge movie quiz special that we have just after Christmas, that week between Christmas and New Year. I've been working on the questions and I've got a lot of time for a lot of them.
Excellent.
Yeah, we've got some really special guests coming.
It's going to be a big one.
Yeah, that's going to be, I'm already excited about
it. Stay tuned for the looseness and enjoy the quizness because there'll be less newsness.
Correctness.
Yeah.
Speaking of news, do you want to crack in?
Sure. My first point of news was Thanksgiving happened and that meant our watching took a knock.
You know, I actually had in my phone a reminder to watch A Good Place and then it went off. I was like, oh, thank goodness. And week. I went, oh, that's right.
Yeah. No Walking Dead, no Good Place.
Mm.
Stuff's wrapping up anyway. But then Thanksgiving hit and I meant, so much stuff took a night or two off. And
surprising. I don't know why it surprises me every year. I think because for me, Thanksgiving, I do have a general idea of when it is just because you get the Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales, but I don't seem to tie them together with TV shows.
And I don't know. It has this weird context thing of like, okay, so Halloween, when it rolls around,
yep.
plenty of shows do a Halloween episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll show in the week of Halloween. Mm. No one takes the break. But Thanksgiving, they might do a Thanksgiving episode the week before.
Mm.
And then,
Yeah, it's a bit odd.
What? Anyway, it's not really news. It's just me saying there was less of
there was
what
a lot
we would
less.
Usually watch.
A lot less.
So we went in different directions.
Mm.
There was one story that I had a bit of a chuckle about. And then I thought about it and said, yeah, all right, ballsy. But Pete Davidson, you know, close personal friend of the show.
Saw this and I thought the same thing.
He does some baller stuff.
Yeah.
He's now making fans that come to his comedy shows sign a $1 million non-disclosure agreement. Can't tell his jokes. Can't even say whether the show was good or not.
Which is weird, right? Why would he not want people to say if they enjoyed it or not? Now, they're not allowed to say it on social media is what the...
Yes.
Signing agreement is. What was it called?
NDA.
Non-disclosure, yeah, yeah.
I think it's brilliant. It's the Barbara Streisand effect sort of thing where
true.
If you mention it, people will talk about it. And yeah. because people can't talk about it, they talk about the fact they can't talk about it, which makes people talk about it even more.
That's a good point.
So I think it's a very clever thing. I think, you know, people are saying, what's the million-dollar joke? I don't think it's that there's a million-dollar joke. I think that he's been very protective of his stuff up till now. He hasn't put out a lot of specials and hasn't done this stuff. So maybe he's, you know, he's clearly working on something, I think, for Netflix at the moment.
That's what it sounded like, but it didn't say in any of the articles that I read. So
but
that makes sense.
He's cashing in on the fact that his every step is tabloid fodder.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he's probably, or he's clearly talking about that stuff in his show an awful lot. So he wants people to pay for the experience to come and do that rather than have the media just spoil it.
This makes more sense now that I'm talking about it with you and hearing your perspective, because I also saw, I think it was in Variety.com, they were talking about it with a lawyer and the lawyer was like, it would be really hard for him to establish that the people attending the show, if they did talk about it on social media, if that would cause $1 million in damage. So now with the perspective of what we've been talking about, the context of that, it really does sound like publicity.
Yeah, it's straight up strategy from a guy who clearly knows how to play this game.
Mm, very clever.
Yeah.
Very clever.
$1 million. How about that? Coming out of a show tweeting, hey, really enjoyed the show. This bit made me laugh my ass off.
You owe me $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez, that's a bit rough. Oh, this was a weird story.
Right.
There's a book called The Deeds of My Fathers. It's by a guy called Paul David Pope. And it's
about... Is that the My Dad Wrote a Porno spin-off?
No, but that would be amazing. No, it's about the guys who made the National Enquirer into the tabloid scandal generator machine that it is.
Okay.
Anyway, there's a production company called Arts District Entertainment. That's the one that Eli Roth.
Horror master.
Exactly. Well, he's that production company want to make the movie of it.
Hmm.
It should be interesting because they're going to go back a fair way, I reckon, because Paul David Pope says, my grandfather immigrated to a New York City from Italy in 1905 and spent the first night on a park bench. Then he started working in sand pits and took over Colonial Sand and Stone and then later newspapers. So I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of seeing something that Leonardo DiCaprio would like to be in. Maybe try and get Matthew McConaughey into it. See those guys dressing up. I mean, they've dressed up before in suits from New York, but this time go a little bit further back and start becoming tabloid.
Sounds like we need a really strong Italian-American.
Who could we find for that? Joe Pesci.
As the older man, I can definitely see that, but who's the younger? Who's the hopeful guy coming?
What's that? Oh, he might be a little old now. I reckon he's about the same age as Leonardo DiCaprio, but the guy... Giovanni
Ribisi.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great call.
He's good.
He is very good.
He's been in so many different things. Remember, he was in Friends, Phoebe's brother.
He was paired up with Claire Danes a lot back in the day.
Yes.
They did.
He was in. Films. Oh, what was it called? Lost in Translation with Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson, set in Tokyo.
Yes.
That was a good movie.
I think he might have been in Gone in 60 Seconds with
I
Nick
think
Cage
he was.
And Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think he was.
Lots of things. I think that's a great call.
All right. Well, we'll go tell Eli and get it happening.
I'm going to throw out a crazy name.
Go on.
Vin Diesel.
I can see him with a wig on and a nice suit.
But the idea of someone who immigrated, worked in construction for years before moving up towards management and can maintaining that gruff exterior and knowledge of the land and working with your hands and stuff, I can see someone bulky.
Yeah.
Like a Vin Diesel type.
Not The Rock. The Rock, when he smiles,
he's too charming.
Yeah.
You want some, this is a hard, sounds like someone who's had a tough life and is turned around and is going to use that difficult exterior they've built up is how they view the world. And now they're going to push that on everyone else.
Oh, that's really good.
Fear.
Yeah, that's right. It's a whole lot of fear. What else have you found?
Well, in terms of new things coming that sound pretty cool, Andy Samberg is going to be hosting and executive producing a program for Quibi, which is another one of the streaming services coming. It's called Biggest Little Cook-Off.
Is Quibi one of those short? Is that the one that has short? Sophie Turner's doing something for that.
I think this is a great piece of content. As I say, short episodes, yes. It's called Biggest Little Cook-Off. Two top chefs compete to make an entire meal in a single bite. So you've got to create a sushi dish on top of a piece of rice. Doesn't that sound awesome?
I'm watching that show. That sound, yep.
Yep. Hosted by Andy Samberg. You know he's going to rap. He's gonna say, wow, you put a whole burger on top of a queen. Cool. Oh, it's going to be so good.
That's a great idea. And also, because of the nature of that streaming service, they only like 10-minute episodes.
Yeah, and they can pump out a bunch whenever he gets a bit of free time from
all of the things.
All of the things he does.
With Better Moves and David Brent, you're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I found a streaming story, as in Twitch streamer.
Okay.
Giant Waffle. He decided he'd attempt to set the world record streaming, like himself playing games.
I saw that.
570 hours. And he did it. But I just need to say it wasn't 570 hours consecutively, because he would not be alive anymore. It was the most hours streamed in a month. 572 hours, I think he did. So he would do 19 hours straight every day.
Yep.
And then sleep or do whatever else he wanted to do for the rest of the day. He played Red Dead, Luigi's Mansion, Escape from Tarkov, I don't know what that one is, Rocket League, Factorio, and Rainbow Six Siege, started and finished Death Stranding as well.
Okay.
So he did a lot of things. And I was like, wow, that's really good. And I was waiting for the end of the article to say, all the proceeds went to this particular charity. But no, he was doing it to get more subscribers.
Okay. So he didn't monetize for himself or others. He's just going to get more money in the future.
He just wants more money for himself.
All right.
I was like, oh, well, a bit deflated after that.
Yeah.
Because those kind of things, like,
I watched part of a 12-hour stream on Planet Zoo the other day, raising money for a chimpanzee conservation society. I get it. I know it's a thing.
It's a thing. It's stuff that people like to do to...
Yeah. I'm not going to give you money because you played a lot of video games for a month.
It was such a deflating story.
At least he didn't die. I thought that's where you were going.
Oh, that did happen a couple of years ago, though.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
It's always stories like, oh...
There's a weird thing with streaming for gamers in that, I don't know why, but if you take a day or two or a week off, your subscriber number
drops. Yeah, big time.
So they feel the pressure to be on as much as possible, as long as possible. And I would just think it'd be draining. I don't want to do it. I watch it, though.
Yeah.
Well, not him, though.
No.
But I watch it. Yeah. Anything else?
I got two last news stories. They're both pretty short, and a trailer. We talked last week about someone who was naughty on the Star Wars set and lost their script. John Boyega owned up. He's a Finn.
He's like, it was me. And then I'm pretty sure Mark Hamill was giving him grief about it. Because Mark Hamill's pretty funny.
I did enjoy a lot of people making the same joke, which was, wow, has Tom Holland got a secret role in this film? Because it is the sort of thing that he would do.
Yes.
But good on him for just owning up.
Yeah, just go for it.
You know, you just...
Let it be what it is. Everyone was wanting to know anyway. You might as well make publicity out of it, because just let it happen. Oh, I do have one more story.
All right,
I almost
go for
forgot.
It.
So the L word Generation Q, which I knew was being made, they totally forgot about it. Anyway, it's coming back the 8th of December, which is Sunday, I think, 10 p.m. on Showtime in the US. Mm-hmm. It's
a Monday night for us.
I guess so, yeah. I'm not sure if it's out yet here, though.
Yep, okay.
I'm not sure. But it's going to have Jennifer Beals back again, Alicia Haley, and Kate. I always forget how to pronounce her name. She was Shane Moenig. She was the one that everybody liked, okay. Along with a whole heap of new characters. So that'd be pretty cool because that show was really popular at the time.
Excuse my ignorance, but is the L word, is that an American remake of Queer as Folk? Are they related or is that what I've just entwined in my mind?
I think it came out as the lesbian equivalent.
Okay.
I don't think it's the same universe, and I also am pretty sure it's not by the same people.
I don't know why I have...
Yeah, but they were definitely...
Misconstrued this in my mind.
On around the same time.
They've just kind of melded for
Queer
me.
As Folk 100% came out before, though.
Hmm.
I mean, that was on in the UK years ago. Yeah. Anyway, that's coming back, so a whole heap of people can rewatch it, and they'll probably get a new audience as well, which is really cool.
Getting lost in Robert Ford's narrative. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Aussie parents, if you're listening, I have some tough news if you've got little kids.
Do you want to sit down first?
Brace yourself.
Okay.
Giggle and Hoot.
Mm.
No more.
Really?
Yes. It will be on air forever.
Yeah,
and they've still got plenty of stuff filmed, but they have wrapped up production on the show. They've been making it for 10 years. Jimmy Giggle himself, he's retiring from all of that at the moment. Anyway, he's, 10 years in. He's got 3 kids under the age of 4, 2 of which are twins.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
And they had to move away from all their extended family and stuff to do the show. So, yeah.
That's fair enough.
It makes complete sense that a guy who has looked after our kids for so long, so well, is just now going to go do that with his own children.
Yeah.
So I wish him the best. He's a legend. Shay was obsessed with Giggle and Hoot for a good year and a half, 2 years. And was good quality programming.
Wow, 10 years is a long time to be doing the same thing. And it, for it to be a creative thing.
Yep.
That's...
It's a long time talking to puppets.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the guy that did Aggro went insane.
Jamie someone.
Yeah.
I think he went on to do radio or had come from radio.
I think wherever he went, he had to keep his hands above the desk, from what I understand.
Okay.
Anyway, so ABC for Kids is losing what was their biggest show, their flagship show for many years. Over the last year and a half, I guess, Bluey has superseded it.
Yeah.
So they have another big one that they can continue on with.
Mm.
But, it was always nice having the night owl sing you a song, get you ready for bed. As a parent, you'd hear that and you'd go, ha-ha, Spicks and Specks is almost on. Time for you to go to bed.
You got to go.
Mm-hmm.
You gots to go.
Yep.
You said you've checked out a trailer?
One just short trailer. Long-time listeners of the show will remember I'm obsessed with a very downbeat, quiet comedy program, Joe Perra Talks With You.
Mm.
As I didn't even know it was coming, but season 2 will be starting later in this week. And it looks like he's got like 14 episodes or something compared to there was maybe 8 in the first season. And it is the warm embrace of a 20-year-old granddad that the world needs right now. It's the most subdued, different to what I normally watch thing.
That's a really good way to describe him.
It's everything about it is just so mellow. He's excited to be involved, but his excitement is very tempered.
It's the kind of show that you watch just before you go to bed.
Oh, he did an episode. No, it wasn't. Yeah, there was an episode, a special he did called Joe Perra Talks You to Sleep, and everything is just
relaxing.
Joe Perra, and today we're going to have a look at the best way to pack your lunchbox. It's that vibe, and everyone in the show with him is that vibe as well. They're excited that he's there, but there's no cynicism or anything like that. So I'm thrilled that it's back for more.
Super positive.
Yeah.
That's like an early Christmas present.
It really is. I had no idea it was coming, and when the trailer happened just this morning, and just,
it was,
I'm ready. Yep, I'm ready.
Let's get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What have you been watching this week?
I watched many things, one bits and some long bits.
Whoa. What a mixture.
I'm going to start with one that I think you'll dig.
Okay.
Okay, so we know that Making It is coming back. Like maybe this week, might be next week, I can't remember, but real soon.
Yep.
To tide me over, the Food Network has a show called Santa's Baking Blizzard. It's hosted by Casey Webb, who's the guy that is on Man vs. Food.
Mm-hmm.
He's very excitable. And this show is basically Making It, but Christmas cakes.
Yes, thanks.
And, yep, we don't need to discuss any
further.
There's
nothing else to talk about there.
They have, I think there's going to be four episodes because there's three teams that compete to go to the final.
Yep.
So I'm imagining three episodes of three teams that ends up with the final. $25,000 prize on the line. And some of the cakes that came out this first episode were mind-blowing. There's this one woman that's there's a team of Asian ladies, and one of them is super kawaii and, like, really cutesy and stuff. And so they had to make a cake inspired by favorite snow day activities. And one team made a snowman on, like, going down a hill only on one ski, and it had gone so wild his head came off. Well, these two ladies made this whole mountainscape.
Wow.
And one woman spent like 2 hours just making cute penguin characters to put all over it. And they've got big rosy cheeks and they're,
These ladies are super talented.
They were so cute.
It was like so cute that you almost had cute overload.
It was a bit much.
Well, you've just reminded me that Nailed It Christmas season 2 is out.
Awesome.
And I've watched the first episode. I watched it with Tidy and we were laughing so much. We were crying.
So Nicole Byer is coming out to Sydney for Comedy Festival next year.
In May.
We should try and get her to come on the show. It'll never happen, but if we start doing it and then if our listeners start tweeting her, then she should come and talk with us because we've talked about Nailed It a lot.
If you've never seen Nailed It before, please watch the Christmas ones. It's this time of year. You want something fun, easy, festive to watch, and I cannot think of anything that gives you more festive spirit, cheer, and laughs than Nailed It. It's so funny.
Does she yell at the producer for not having the trophy out
Wes?
In time?
Wes, of course.
Good. Is Wes under the desk at any point or is Wes in costumes? Because I like the season with costumes.
Oh, no, he's got costumes.
Okay, good.
But I'm not going to tell you who's on the first episode because you're going to love it.
Oh, is my up my alley?
Yeah, right up your alley. All I'm going to say is that this person almost takes over her job. And as an audience member, I was 100% fine with it. And you could tell Nicole was 100% on board with it as well.
I hope it's Ted Danson. It won't be, but
it's not Ted Danson.
Can you imagine him being excited by cakes? Or Jeff Goldblum. They did a crossover with Disney Plus and it was Jeff Goldblum excited by Nicole Byer's cake collection.
Or just excited about her excitement.
It's a rubber snake of thrill and joy.
It's so good.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
So I think I'd mentioned a few weeks ago, the people that made The Toys That Made Us have a new series called The Movies That Made Us.
Oh, I've watched a couple of these episodes.
Which one did you watch?
Watched The Dirty Dancing and The Home Alone one.
All right. So we watched Home Alone as a family crew.
That would have been good.
It was good. We just want to watch Home Alone straight away. I don't know if Lindsay's watched Dirty Dancing yet. I know she should have.
It's good. I mean, I have seen Dirty Dancing a few times over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think I would know it as much as I did going into watching it.
Sure.
Like, you actually know a lot. But that Home Alone one, funnily enough, the day before I watched Home Alone.
Yeah.
And then I just happened to be watching it. And it came on and I was like, oh my gosh, I've just seen this. So everything they were talking about, I was like, oh, interesting side note, which I had no idea about.
Mm.
The interior of the house was actually filmed
on a soundstage.
Which was actually a school gymnasium.
Do you want to know a secret?
Yes.
Most movies and TV shows are not filmed in real houses.
What?
I know.
Now I want to know if Father of the Bride was filmed in a soundstage as well.
It would have been.
It would have been?
Mm-hmm.
I hope they do an episode. Maybe there is an episode of Father of the Bride.
They kind of talk about it in there, but getting cameras into a house, you suddenly lose the actual perspective of being in the location in the house you intend to take the shot from.
Yeah.
So it's this weird thing of wherever you want the angle to be, you actually need to be about 3 feet behind there in order to get the proper
to make it look normal. Yeah. Anyway. Well, normal. It's a great show.
It was great. Well, what were the other ones again? Ghostbusters and...
I can't remember.
It won't be Jaws, but I'd be down with Jaws. Something.
It's a good show.
Yeah, I'm down.
Definitely worth watching.
The only program dumb enough to cross the streams. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Guess what I watched, Tom?
What?
I watched that recovery doco.
Oh, how was it? I missed it because I was already out of the house before 8 a.m. on a Saturday because I'm not a teenager anymore.
Not a thing that happened. The funny thing was watching it and they were talking about, you know, it used to start early in the morning and it triggered a memory of mine where I would be like, oh no, there's only like half an hour left of recovery because I've woken up. Anyway, I watched it on iView. So I didn't have to get up early to watch it either. It's so good. And there's so many bits of it that you go, oh, I forgot. I remember that bit. That's right. Like he's.
Is there a bit about Rivers Cuomo being drunk? Sorry, not
yes.
drunk. Jet lag? That's right. Is it as bad as I remember? Because I remember that interview being bad.
Dylan was like, please, can we not talk about that? It was the most awkward thing that ever happened because he mispronounced his name in the introduction.
He called him River.
He called him River from Weezer. And the guys was like, I'm not going to talk. It was so awkward. Jane's there as well. Lee's there.
Yep.
They have a chat with him.
Good. Angus.
Angus is there via Skype.
What, they couldn't get the enforcer to come down? He's Hollywood now.
He really is, and they show like a whole heap of stuff that he's been in.
Okay, good, because he's done so well for himself.
He's done so much.
Who would have thought that the enforcer and Lee, the movie review guy,
were
the two that would become the big people from that show?
Because Dylan was, I mean, he talks about it. He said, I had never done television before.
Clearly.
But he was so good. Yeah. Because he was so different.
I think that's why it was so good. It's because he had zero media training and clearly did not have a mentor or anyone giving him good advice.
Not at all. But watching the progression of recovery, you know, from the first season to the second season, they suddenly got a whole lot more budget.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they had one more season. And then the people that they had on, which I'd forgotten about, I was like, well, they are big names. Like Metallica came in.
Yeah.
They performed.
And Frenzel were in all the time.
They lived there basically. Silverchair were there a few times as well. Silverchair were huge.
What about Girling? Did Girling get a plug or mention?
I can't remember. They did Regurgitator, sure. Powderfinger. Like they spoke to so many bands. It was amazing. But what I didn't know was that the reason recovery ended. I don't even remember it ending. It just ended. It wasn't on.
Yeah.
Was because there were budget cuts to the ABC and recovery was the youth program. Get rid of that.
As cheap as it looked, it would not have been.
It wouldn't have been cheap.
Pretty cheap to make.
Yeah.
Because everyone was still getting paid.
There was a lot of stuff. And the sets that they would make.
And destroy.
Yeah. Yeah, so good.
Does it have the whole John Spencer Blues Explosion thing? Good.
There's a lot of talk about that.
Well, that's like lore.
It's
L-O-R-E.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic, that's
the word.
It's super iconic. Mm. Living End going to a high school to do a performance with Dylan. Exactly.
Yeah.
And they were talking to Dylan. They were like, well, we'd only just released our first single. So most of those kids had no idea who we were. They weren't screaming for us. They were screaming for you, the TV star, Dylan. And he's like, oh, no, really? It's so good. I was really sad when it ended, the doco. Mm. I was like, oh, give me more. I want more of it. It was just such nostalgia. It was amazing. If you grew up in the 90s, because it went from 96 to...
Maybe 99 or even 2000.
Maybe 2000. Yeah, maybe. It was something that was always on and I would always try and watch even a bit of it.
I had Saturday morning sport every week. Mm. So it was always, I'd get the first half hour, the last half hour, and that was it.
Yeah.
Could have recorded it, but.
Maybe for like 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of live television.
I don't know if there's any shows now that are, like, apart from sports coverage stuff, that would be 3 hours.
Mm. Yeah.
Even Channel V. Capped it at 2 hours at a time normally.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd stream live all the time, but you got to cycle your hosts.
See, Channel V would have been the replacement, like On Demand and all those different shows, they would have been the replacement because...
They really started pick up in 98, 99, I think.
Because that's all the stuff I was watching. I was watching all of The Recovery and all of the Channel V.
Mm.
And somebody mentions in the doco, they're like, we thought that more people would replicate this, but they didn't. And they still, like today, there's, when you think about this, such a gaping hole.
Yeah.
Where that could be. But now that
it's online.
Television, yeah, exactly.
Just do it yourself.
Just do it yourself.
Wayne's World.
Yeah, exactly. So,
again, apologies to anyone overseas who's going, what is this recovery they're talking about?
Sorry.
It's basically our version of Wayne's World if Wayne's World was a real thing.
Yeah, they would get, yeah, it was super loose. It was such a loose
Everyone that worked
program.
On it was 25 or under.
Yep.
And they had big, big international acts come and perform on a Saturday morning.
Probably drunk.
Yeah. Everyone's still hungover from the night before.
Yeah. The audience was unruly.
Yeah. Things would be destroyed.
Yeah.
Swears.
Oh, such a good show.
And the Australian government debated whether his eyebrow ring was corrupting
right.
the youth of Australia.
That's right.
Simpler times.
All right. Enough recovery talk. What else did you watch this week?
I'm not going to go full into it, but I watched Godzilla King of the Monsters, which was the one that came out, I want to say, early this year, which I had forgotten to see. I don't know how a Godzilla film came out that I didn't see. That's the one with Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's all right. It's not great, but it's okay. But I watched it because I'm getting very excited for Kong vs. Godzilla next year. And they announced that they have pushed it back.
I heard that.
Several months. I imagine it's to move out of a very crowded tentpole time of year.
Is it like summertime?
Mm-hmm. Mm. And also maybe they want to continue working on some special effects and pump it up further.
Why not?
Why not?
Quick side note.
Mm.
I read only the headline. I didn't read the article that she, Millie Bobby Brown, it's not Bobby Brown. It's Millie Bobby. Billy, but 11.
Yeah.
The next movie that she's doing, she's getting like 6 million, 9 million, like something like that for it. She's hit the big time.
She's doing well.
Yeah. Mm. Were you, whilst watching that show, going, geez, I wish she'd do some Stranger Things superpower action right now? Or is she very different?
She kind of pulls some, not powers, but like, hey, I know more than other people.
Okay.
I'm going to try and help save this situation.
Yeah, right. Okay.
She's a very precocious young lady.
Which I think is what she is in real life.
It
and there's nothing wrong
that
with
way.
That.
Nope. So it was fine.
Mm.
It was not fun, I would say.
A shame.
Yeah. There were some cool moments.
Mm.
It was great to see a new version of Mothra and Rodan all this sort of stuff. But there was just a lot of family drama in order to get to those points. It's like,
yeah, you were just waiting.
I don't care about these people who might get stepped on.
Yeah, okay.
Let me cheer for the big green guy who spits radioactive flame and is our hero.
And is the reason that we're watching this right now. Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm. So because of recovery, we've got a 90s themed quiz coming up for us very soon.
Okay.
We also want to have a quick chat about Mandalorian. Anything else or should we crack into it?
Oh, look, I was briefly going to mention, I know I mentioned a while ago that I'd started watching Doom Patrol.
Yeah,
and I had taken my time with it and really spaced it out. I finally wrapped up in the last few days. I watched a whole bunch of episodes back to back, which you know is not my style. But the show got progressively weirder and I loved it more and more. And this show is great. I didn't particularly care for Titans, which is the other show on the DC Universe app, but Doom Patrol. So for anyone who doesn't know, it's a comic that's been around for a long time, but in the 80s there were some really seminal runs by a guy named Grant Morrison, who's like Mr. LSD of comics. He comes up with really weird storylines and stuff like this. And it's a team of very, very broken individuals, and you wouldn't consider them superheroes. These are people who are... disabled or mentally handicapped or affected very negatively by the powers that they have received. And so they basically live in a home cut off from the world.
So almost like X-Men, but
So the X-Men is all about the outward projection of we want to work with everyone else. This is the flip of that, of they, these people have closed themselves off from the world entirely. Okay. And events transpire that they have to go back out into the world.
Mm.
And this show unfolds in a beautiful way, and it's really weird, and I'll get into that in some of a second. But I can't remember the last time I saw a show that handled being different better and celebrating, not even celebrating, but just it's this show is not about romantic plot lines or anything like this. It's about self-acceptance, not even self-love. It's don't listen. If people tell you you're a monster, look at your own actions and decide by your actions whether that's true or not. It's nothing to do with your outward appearance or how all this sort of stuff. I was really sideswiped by how, you know, there's one of the characters' name is Crazy Jane, and she's, you know, a young 20s goth chick who has 64 different personalities that live in her mind, all superpowered. So very similar to Split, that movie with James McAvoy. And the different personalities can take control, and, you know, there's one that's a teleporter, but it's really difficult to coerce her to come out. So shit has to be real bad for her to get involved.
Yeah, right.
There's another one turns into a 60-foot tall woman that can squash things and all this. There's an episode where characters get sucked into her brain, and you'd think it'd be a big rollicking adventure, Indiana Jones style. And they even make a joke of like, I wish we could magic school bus ourselves down Tiny and just go and solve this stuff.
Yeah.
But when they get in there, they learn from all these other personalities that they have no purpose or business being in her mind. Her recovery is her own decision. And if she can't progress forward with that, they can't force her to do this. And kind of, I've never seen it handled in such a way of being delicate of like, if you actually love this person, it's not about forcing them to be better. It's about supporting them while they struggle.
Mm.
And that's kind of the angle this show took. At the same time that all this beautiful, touching sentimentality is going on, the show gets fucking weird. There's a there's a cockroach that is a giant and has God complex and like Godzilla style cockroach wants to rule the world.
Of course.
They have to break into a secret base, and everyone keeps mentioning don't release the butts, don't release the butts. Someone opens a door and
there's a whole heap of actual bottoms.
A swarm of butts and tiny little skinny legs come out, and the buttholes open and have teeth and eat people whole.
That's wild.
There's that. There's a character named Flex Mentallo, who's the strongest man alive, and he looks he is a 50s strongman.
Oh yeah, with the little moustache. Or
it's all taken off, but he's in the stripy short shorts and all this sort of stuff. And when he flexes, certain muscles can alter reality, so he can rip holes and stuff like that. And at one point, I won't say what he's trying to do because it's very clever, but he fires the wrong muscle. And it has the opposite effect on everybody. And then there's just a minute and a half of the most graphic orgasm acting I've ever seen.
So random.
And like a full minute and a half.
It sounds wild.
One of the characters who we never hear speak audibly because he can't.
Yeah.
When his power manifested, it turned him into a sentient street. His name is Danny the Street. And he's a street.
Like as in a road.
Like he's 50, a street of 50 suburbia with an old school penny theater and a diner.
Yeah, right.
And all this sort of stuff.
Okay.
And
so he's okay.
And anyone who walks onto him comes into his sphere and is blissful. And people can live as they truly are there. So everyone living there is transgendered or, you know, going through some sort of transformation to find who they are truly inside. This sort of stuff. And he talks using all the signage on the street.
Oh, wow.
It's
what weird. A wild show.
It's so weird.
So is it the kind of show that is so unusual and strange and just full of these characters that have, like, the things that you're describing, is just, that's never a character I've ever heard of before. Is it the kind of show that takes you a couple of episodes to go, I've got to get my head around this, or does it suck you in straight away?
I had some prior knowledge of the characters.
Okay.
That definitely helped.
Yeah.
I do think it is that weird that after the first episode you'll be like, I'm up for more. Look, let me put it this way. It has Brendan Fraser.
Right.
Who rarely appears on screen but is in the show on screen. But most of the time he's voicing a physically emotionless robot.
Okay.
Who wears a leather jacket with spikes.
Right, okay.
But it has Brendan Fraser's brain in there and his voice.
So is it actual Brendan Fraser?
So when it's the robot, it's a different actor and he's voicing it.
Right.
But in flashbacks or when we see things through his eyes,
we see Brendan Fraser
fat with a mullet. He was a 80s race car driver, a world famous race car driver who died in a horrible crash, and they saved his brain and put it in a robot.
It sounds Futurama.
It's crazy. And this robot is completely devoid of any physical emotion. It's just locked in and stuff. But you've got Brendan Fraser screaming profanities and, oh my, blah, 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 like all this
insane.
It should not work.
But it does.
It really, really does. So I know I said earlier this year that I was blown away by the fact that we already had the Umbrella Academy and The Boys this year.
Mm.
But Doom Patrol belongs up there of a fucking bonkers, I can't believe this comic made it across the line.
Well, you better make sure that you've got that list ticking away, because in a couple of weeks we'll be having our favourite top 10 movies and TV shows of the year episode.
I've already been scribbling.
Me too.
Chicken hawk stuff.
Perfect. Mm-hmm.
Turns out it's easy being green. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Mando.
So Bryce Dallas Howard directed this episode.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know that was going to be a thing. So when I saw, because I told you I watch all of the
credits
because I love the song and I love the art style at the end. So I watched the whole thing. It was a very different feeling episode.
They're still just digging through the Kurosawa backlog. I love it. Don't get me wrong. It was a very different feeling, but yeah.
I'm intrigued. I reckon we're going back to that place.
Oh, for sure. You don't introduce
A couple of different characters, including I know you're going to talk about whatever that other bounty hunter's name was.
I can't remember the character's name.
Yeah. But also the lady from the village who was like, I can work. I can use a weapon. She was the only person who could use a weapon in.
Oh, the woman who was like, I want to bone your helmet.
Well, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
We don't know why she's the only one that can use a weapon. I think I was just a little acorn. And we'll be coming back and we're finding out why she's got weaponry experience.
I think it's important to go back there for another reason, which is to check in with my new favorite Star Wars character expanded universe, Pillboy. Did you see that was Pillboy?
I didn't realize until Place. You said that.
From Good Place.
Yeah.
The two guys that come to him at the very beginning. One is Pillboy and the other one, I can't remember his name, but he was on Wrecked and he played the Saeed-ish character.
Right, okay.
So that's what I like. The second they popped up, I'm like, oh, okay, these guys must be friends with someone. So Pillboy is Eugene Cordero.
Mm.
I was very impressed to see him. I did enjoy I'm part of a Good Place shirt posting group on Facebook.
Yeah.
Shirt posting is very good.
Yeah.
And someone renamed him Krill Boy.
That's very good.
Because he's a krill farmer.
Bright blue. I wonder, because you know how if you cook prawns, they go pink.
Mm.
What colour do they go, those blue ones, when you cook them?
Mm.
Questions not answered. Maybe we can ask Bryce.
I bet Forrest Gump might have an answer.
Yeah, he would have an answer. Whether it's one we want to know or not, I don't know. You still loving Mandalorian?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. It was a longer episode. I enjoyed that. The training montage was short.
Half a minute.
And I'm really appreciating the lower stakes. Like, it really mattered to everyone there that they won. But it had absolutely no ramification on anything else in the universe. And that is the opposite of all the Star Wars movies.
That's a really good point.
Everything in there is a cataclysmic event that someone needs to do this to save the universe.
Yeah.
And this was a guy. The last few episodes have been about saving a baby.
Mm.
Now he's choosing to save a village.
Mm.
So maybe there's an increase in heroicism on there.
He also is saving the village by moving Baby Yoda.
Yeah, he's got to stay on the move.
Yeah. And with the broth, amazing.
Mm.
Just Baby Yoda drinking broth.
Everyone's really into that meme now.
Gosh. It just makes me happy. When I see those Baby Yoda pictures on Twitter or Instagram or anything, it just gives me a little smile, internal smile, and I move on with my life.
Some people have complained and called it the Fandalorian.
I don't care.
And I love it.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
If you want to call it that and complain, go ahead. I'm just here for the good vibes.
Here's my not so hot take on it.
Go on.
I haven't enjoyed the last few movies and they've pushed me further away from it. And if you've gotten into those, more power to you. I have no problem with that. I've not said a bad thing about anyone else enjoying them. They've just not been my bag.
Mm.
Whereas this one, this is what I was hoping for all along, and it's really scratching the itch. So I think it's just a respect thing from other people. If you're not digging it, you can say you're not digging it, but you can't call other people idiots.
No, no, no. There's too many great shows and movies out there for you to get hung up on a conversation online about something you're not interested in.
Here is how I know that I'm enjoying the show to the right level. So there's, I have lots of action figures and stuff.
Mm.
And there's one company called Hot Toys that go through Sideshow, and they're really expensive, super detailed. And I've got a few of those Spider-Man and that Groot that we have photo fun with sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So I went through their site the other day, and they do tons of Star Wars ones, and I'm never interested. But they have an IG-11.
Oh, yeah.
That robot that Taika Waititi was in the first episode. I have to have that thing.
You got to?
I have to have.
Is that your Christmas present to yourself?
Oh, it's not coming out till like January 21. These guys show off prototypes a year and a half before they actually come out.
All right.
The last, like, I pre-ordered months ago their Fat Thor. Because I need a superhero. Like, I need that.
Yeah.
I need that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how much I'm enjoying the show. I did not. The only Star Wars action figures I've bought are mashup ones. So I have one that's a stormtrooper mixed with a ninja, and this sort of stuff. You know, things
interesting.
Yeah,
different things.
Yeah, or custom. I get custom toys. Yeah, like DJ Yoda and stuff.
DJ Yoda, yeah. Keeping it real. You ready to quiz it up?
Please.
I did tell you this is a 90s themed quiz. It's a 90s teen movie quotes
quiz. Okay.
So there are six of them.
Yes.
And you've got to tell me what movie it's from.
All right.
We'll just tell your mother that we ate it all.
American Pie.
Very good.
Thank you.
It's Jim's dad.
It is Eugene Levy. Yes. The guy.
Legend.
Oh, he's been doing great work on Schitt's Creek. Him and Catherine O'Hara.
I couldn't put my... I was like, he's in something that I haven't seen yet, but I know he's in something.
It's good.
It is good?
It's real good. I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the show, but that's one of my private pleasures.
Okay. Schitt's Creek. I've got that insurance ad in my head where he's like, Schitt's Creek. All right, second one. We mustn't dwell. Not today. We
can't.
Not
on Rex Manning Day.
Yes!
You didn't even get to finish.
All right, then. Tell me who said it.
Not today. Not on Rex Manning Day. It's not Renee.
No.
And it's not Liv.
No. It's a bloke.
Is it Ethan Embry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
With a C. Because he's bands with a K.
That's right. This is another easy one for you. Well, this is the easiest one I thought of.
Okay.
Do you like scary movies?
That's Scream. I had to play it out in my head, and I had to let them. Want to play a game?
That's it. Yeah, it's the
ghost
the phone call. Yeah, that's right.
To Drew.
Yeah, who was in the movie for a little bit.
My boyfriend's gonna beat your ass. What? This boyfriend?
I'm making popcorn. Okay, you're a virgin who can't drive.
It feels like Clueless.
It is Clueless.
Yeah. Is that someone? To Brittany Murphy? Or is it Brittany Murphy saying it?
Brittany Murphy to...
Seth Green?
Alicia Silverstone when they're having their fight. You're a virgin who can't drive.
Wait, is Seth Green in that one or is it Breckenmeyer?
It's Breckenmeyer in that one, yeah. Meanwhile, I was looking through the cast of Can't Hardly Wait.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I was watching... Oh, gosh.
Peter Facinelli. There are some big names in that film.
I was having conversations with a couple of friends because we were watching Buffy, the beginning of Buffy, the first two episodes. And I don't know why we started talking about Can't Hardly Wait, and we were going through the IMDb and we're just
Allison
like...
Allison Hannigan.
It's just like every person who was in several movies.
No, is Allison Hannigan, is she the redhead girl that gets locked in the bathroom with Seth Green? No.
No, it's not.
Who's that?
That's...
It's not Thora Birch.
No. Oh, what's her name? She's one of those people that if she walked down the street, I wouldn't recognize her. I wrote the word can't into IMDb and it immediately came up. Lauren Ambrose.
Oh, that's it. Yep.
Who was in 6 Feet Under.
Yes, she was the daughter on that. God, I love that show. I can't watch it again.
No, it's a one-off. All right. What's wrong with everybody? These are memories frozen in time, people. Yeah, I'll give you a clue. This character actually says is probably more famous for another line, but this is connected. And this character was more famous for a TV show that they were doing at the time. The memory's frozen in time.
I want to say Wayne's World, but that's not right.
We were just...
Is it Varsity Blue?
We were just talking about it.
How long ago?
It's from Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, it's from Can't Hardly Wait as well. So is that Jennifer Love Hewitt?
No.
But is it Ethan Embry talking to Jennifer Love Hewitt?
It's not a main character. This person comes in and she wants something in particular throughout the whole entire movie. Melissa Joan Hart. Remember, she's walking around with the yearbook.
That's right. She just wants people to sign in her yearbook.
The only thing she ever does. And then, I can't remember, she's outside of the house where the party is and she's like, what's wrong with everybody? These are memories frozen in time, people.
I do remember now because there's another film that I thought it might have been and I was going through the cast list of that and I don't want to say that because there's a good chance that it's coming up.
All right, well, this is the final one. Let's see if it's this one. All right. This is long. And the reason I picked this is because I remember this bit in the movie and my eyes were rolling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the way you talk to me and the way you cut your hair. I hate the way you drive your car. I hate it when you stare. I hate your big, dumb combat boots and the way you read my mind. I hate you so much you make me sick. It even makes me rhyme. I hate it. I hate the way you're always right. I hate it when you lie. I hate it when you make me laugh and even worse when you make me cry. And this is when this character starts crying. I hate it when you're not around and the fact that you didn't call, but mostly I hate the way I don't hate you. Not even close. Not even a little bit. Not even at all.
She's all that?
It's a Shakespeare movie.
Oh, the Never Been Kissed?
No. You know which one it is.
Romeo and Juliet.
It's got Heath Ledger in it.
Oh, the 10 Things I Hate About You. Wasn't that from like 2000?
1999,
no,
I think.
Oh, you're right.
Let me check.
Because Idle Hands would have been about 98.
99, yeah. That was Julia Stiles.
All right, good one. That's a good one.
It took me ages.
That is a good one because I love that movie.
It's and a good movie,
right?
And for
some reason, that's on the outside cusp. I don't consider that. I don't look at that as 90s.
Really?
I don't know why. Yeah.
I went and saw most of those, I reckon, at the movies. No, I wouldn't have seen Empire Records and maybe not Clueless at the movies, but the rest of them I saw at the movies.
I saw Bring It On at the movies 4 days in a row.
Did you really?
Yep. Finished school, finished year 12, had nothing to do. I was like, I'm going to go see Bring It On.
Amazing.
And then I had different people who want to go and see it. And it was
no regrets?
None. Love that movie. It holds up.
Have we spoken about this before?
Probably. I bring it up an awful lot.
Because I feel like we've had this discussion and it led to two separate things. And one of them was that Kirsten Dunst is so underrated.
Yes. Agreed.
And the other one is that Gabrielle Union does not age.
No, she's had a big week.
Oh, she has.
We're not going to solve that.
That's too much for us, but yeah.
Yeah, she's in that Paul Rudd club.
Mm.
Sacrificed a goat somewhere.
That's right. If you've got any quiz ideas, make sure you send them in to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com and make sure you're listening out in the next couple of weeks because, like I said, we've got our top 10 movies and TV shows that really got us this year, 2019. Mm-hmm. And after Christmas, we will have the movie quiz podcast, except it's going to be more like a game show. At least that's how it's shaping up.
Yes.
It's going to be big and I'm excited.
I'll take minerals for 500.
You going to phone a friend?
Nope.
Fair enough. Tom, on that note, thank you.
I don't have anything. Can we try that again?
No.